Welcome, ladies. This is Susanna Zeller, our newest leader of Warrior Princess Club, and she's going to share with us a little bit about what's going on with her and who she is.
My name is Susanna, but everybody calls me Suze, so feel free. And the first thing you should know about me is obviously I'm a fire. I choose to be called Tinder. I cry at everything, Hallmark commercials, that gets me every time. I'm very honored to be in leadership with these amazing ladies, and it's been a very quick journey to leadership, but it was pretty clear from the beginning this was my spot, which is new for me. I'm more like kind of a back row kind of girl, where I can be a little disruptive, a little giggly. But I really want to share with you kind of what my journey's been, really, in the last couple of months. With this whole concept, we've been talking a lot about your beloved, right? And I kind of want to get into what my journey and what that's been for me. But I'm going to back up and talk a little bit about just me. I was born, obviously, not so long ago. I was born into a Christian home. I had born-again parents that came out of Lutheranism, and it was a beautiful thing for me. Pros and cons of growing up in a Christian home. It is a hard road, just like any other. At age 5, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness. I'm a type 1 diabetic. If anybody doesn't know, I take insulin in order to live. So I've been dealing with that for about 35 years. That affects pretty much all facets of my life, including my spiritual walk. I am married. I've been married for almost 19 years to a great guy, and I did get married when I was 12. You can do math. I've had some hardships. I lost my mom at age 27. I was 27. She was also a diabetic. She died of diabetic complications, and so that's always a fear for me. See, here I go. God is good, and it's been a long time because my mom walked that road. That's going to be me. I'm going to be gone at age 55, and the Lord says, excuse me, who made you? Who numbered your days? That would be God. So that's a whole other story. My mom, like I said, died. My dad met and remarried in 8 months. We call her the new chickie, but it's because I adore her. They've been married for almost 13 years now, and she's wonderful. Again, a whole other wonderful story. My husband and I were married 11 years before God finally gave us a child through adoption. We did foster care, a whole other story. Well, you guys are going to be for a long time when I start speaking. fast forward, just in the last about 5 years, my husband and I have really struggled. Both in our relationship, we've had 2 layoffs of him in the last 5 years. When our children were 2 and 2.5, I went back to work part-time nights. That was really hard. Because my dream, maybe our dream, was to be a stay-at-home mom and sew. That's all I wanted to do, was sew and raise my babies. Well, that didn't happen. And so that was a real battle to let that dream go stagnant. Through the last about 5 years, I've had this, my walk with God has been stagnant. It just stopped. I shouldn't say it stopped, I stopped. I stopped pursuing God because I was so busy, just with life, with working with my kids and with my husband, and trying to make ends meet, and oh wait, the house is dirty, and why does the laundry just keeps getting undone? Every time I do laundry, there's three more loads, and every time I do dishes, the sink is full again, and every time I clean the bathroom, it's dirty again. Oh wait, now I have to go to work, and I wait, we're out of diapers, and why is there my food in the fridge? These kids keep eating. And I don't stop. And so during all this, I'm just yearning for a relationship with God, to have that fire that I don't think I ever really had. I was saved when I was 5. I accepted Jesus into my heart in Sunday school. My dad said he and mom wept and wept with joy, and I don't really remember it, but I've always known God. I've always known who God is. when it was about when I went back to work, I realized I'd never been water baptized. And so I made that public profession. I'm going for it. I'm going all in with God. And it didn't happen. That passion for God just didn't happen. I'm like, what's going on? It didn't happen. Right, so fast forward 4 years. Last year, I'm still in the same spot. I go to church. I have a smile on my face. People know I love God. People think, man, she's deep with God. Look at her. She just has joy. She's always smiling. She's in there. She's raising her hands. And I love to sing. I love to praise God. That was not fake. But that deep internal walk with God wasn't there. So I was living that life of church life. And I still struggle with that daily going to God. But anyway, all of a sudden, my job changes. I'm not working nights anymore. All of a sudden, firings are happening. I'm switching around. All of a sudden, I'm on days doing this job that I didn't think I would be doing. And then last year, all of a sudden, I'm in this job where I'm flexible. I don't have to work if I don't want to. I just have to get X number of hours in a week. I can work when the kids are in school. I'm home. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Looking back, going, oh, God, you did it. My dream to be a stay-at-home mom. Guess what, gals? I didn't even know it, and God answered my dream. I mean, look back and go, has that ever happened to you? Or you look back and go, oh, yeah, I forgot I had that dream, and God made it happen, and I didn't even know it. And so that was a big opening for me to just kind of think, okay, the Lord is watching me, and He knows my heart. Last year, this desire for sewing, once again, sewing is my passion. I love it. I've always wanted to sew. I've always wanted to teach sewing. I've taught a little bit, and I felt God's pleasure. And when I go in and I create, God, I feel His pleasure, because that is a gift He gave me. It took me a long time to realize that. That's a gift He gave me. But through the last year, that passion, that desire became all-consuming to sew, to have a business, to make a living doing what I love, and be that all-consuming passion of God. I need to know You. Because whatever I'm doing, it's not working. It's just not working. And so, out of the blue, I get a phone call from a friend. Tonya calls me. And this was last November, after retreat. And Tony and I have been friends for a while, but we've never been super close. And she calls me. She said, okay, Sue, it's really weird. But I just felt like God wanted me to call you, and I got this idea of this group. And I immediately, it was like she smacked me with a 2x4, this excitement. And I said, yes. Oh, man, do I need this. I need this. I need a group of real speaking, plain talking, real life, no church ease of, oh, honey, you just need to pray. Your praying is great, ladies, but I need somebody that I can go to and go, today stinks. I'm angry at God. I'm done. And I need somebody to go, okay, honey, you need to come up out of that. Okay? Plain speaking. I'm a plain speaker. Okay? Really? So Tony's doing this, and I'm getting all excited. And then she does the whammy on me. And she asks me a question. We're talking, and she interrupts me, and she says, hey, sis, did you know that you're beloved? And I went, yeah, I know God loves me. And she goes, no, honey, do you know you're beloved? And I went, sure, okay. And we went on. And I just kind of sat on that a little bit, and what does that mean? She gave me a book to read, and I read it. Wow, mind-blowing. John Eldridge, Waking the Dead. I'm a big on that. So we started getting a group together to pray about this meeting, and as we're praying, I really felt it wasn't my time for leadership, because I don't have any more room at the inn. My inn's full. I've got no more space for one more thing. I'm working. I'm a mom. I have a house. I have a husband. I have a family. I mean, my list, my laundry list. And Jan Brooks, who's not here tonight, she turns to me and she says, I really think the Lord wants to remind you to stretch your tent pegs. And my mind was blown. There's a verse in Isaiah that when we were struggling to have children and we decided to do foster care, the Lord gave me a verse. And it's kind of a wonky one. It's Isaiah 54:2. And the New International Version says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." And it's talking about the fertility of Israel, about a barren cry, a barren woman. You know, shout for joy, because your descendants will be greater than the one who has born children. That was my verse. And so I went back and I read it again, and it was really big for me to stretch my tent pegs to add this one more thing. It's true. And then I went back and I read it in the Message. I don't know if you've ever read the Message. It's a little bit of a different version. It's kind of plain speaking. But it says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope and drive the tent pegs deep. And for me, what that really meant was stepping out in faith. God's going to do this. This is what God wants. And so I did. And it's scary. It's scary to step out in faith and try to broaden your horizons when you don't know. Something that I always think a lot of people don't know, but when I say it, they go, oh, yeah. I don't like change. I am very anal retentive about a lot of things. When I do anything, when I make any decision, I like to line up my ducks. And then I like to put them in order by the color of their little feathers. And then I like to put them in order by their age. And then I like to put them in order by how high, you know, what their little height is. And then by eye color maybe, or then by the size of their webbed feet. I like that. And give me a spreadsheet and I'm so happy. And so knowing that about me, I prayed for a word for the year. You know, we're kind of big on that here. What's your word for the year? What is the Lord saying to me? The Lord gave me a word. Do you know what that word was? Change. Thank God. I got that word, and I thought, are you kidding me? Lord, you're going to give me the word change. Because you know I don't handle change well. The only change I handle well is when I'm planning to change. Everybody else just needs to fall in line and come on, let's go. And, yeah, God doesn't work like that. So, the one big thing that God, I really felt that God was going to change in me was my attitude. And like I said, I'm always usually happy-go-lucky, but in between my ears, I'm not. I can be a real jerk. I can be mean to my children. I can be a real jerk to my husband. I have really nasty thoughts about some people sometimes. Am I getting anybody? Is anybody with me? Okay. You have that outside. And you have what's going on in here in your brain, your thought life. And a lot of that, as I started praying more and more about it, the Lord took me back to beloved. And I said, well, I don't know what that means. So I looked it up. That's what I do. And the definition of beloved, I think Tanya has shared this, is beloved means adored. I'm adored. God adores me. God cherishes me. All of us, He cherishes us. Even in between my ears, He loves this. Okay? I'm treasured. He admires me. He admires me. This is God who made me, and He admires me. Okay, well, was I getting it? Yeah, I still didn't get it. I know I want to be treasured. He doesn't want their husband or their man or their children or somebody to cherish them. Guess what? God already does. But He cherishes you. I still didn't understand it. It wasn't sinking in. And so I didn't know what to do because it. Can I use your butterfly example?
Absolutely.
I was talking to Tanya, and this is a great example of just when I think that I might grasp the concept that God adores me, that I'm beloved. It's like an oily butterfly. You just get your grasp on it, and it slips out of your hand, and it's gone. And as soon as it slips out of your hand, the enemy's right there, and he's waiting to bite you. And he says, really? But you were really nasty in your mind to that person. You, that person kind of offended you. You put a smile on your face. But boy, in your head, you had that big comeback, didn't you? Hey, that's not God, is it? That's an enemy. And it's a lie. It is a flat-out lie. Okay? God still cherishes you. Okay? So I'm doing that, and I'm still struggling with that. So I went back to the definition of beloved, and there was a word that I missed. Venerated. Anybody heard? I was like, I love words, and I was like, venerated? What does venerated mean? So I looked it up. Okay? Venerated means, I'm so loved, held sacred.
Wow.
God holds me sacred.
Oh.
He holds you sacred. Mind blown. Venerated means honored. God honors you. You honor God, but he honors you. Okay? Respected. Guess what, ladies? God respects you. God respects me. And this is not exalted. Literally, it means exalted. He exalts you. I'm thinking, what? Are you kidding me? How can everything that I'm supposed to do to God, if I am beloved of God, that means, according to the definition, that he does that to me? Okay? But go back to Scripture. What does Scripture say? You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Uh-huh.
Right? God knew you when he knit you together in your mother's womb.
Uh-huh.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I go back to, this just happened Tuesday, ladies. This is so mind-blowing to me. I mentioned before that I'm a seamstress, and I love to sew. And I'm sitting in the doctor's office waiting to see the doctor. And I said, Lord, I keep coming before you and saying, reveal it to me, reveal it to me, reveal it to me. How I just can't seem to get it, what this means, that how much you love me. And the first picture God brought to mind is I don't know about you, but when I see an amazing sunset or I see a flock of birds in flight, how they all move in unison, I'm awed with what God made. You know, sometimes the colors that he puts in a sunset, I'm like, what? He put purple in the sunset? You know? Or the pictures up here when we were singing of the waves crashing, that's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, God, your creation, it declares the majesty of God, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God says, yeah, that's beautiful, but in my mind, you're even beautiful than that. Wait a minute, you mean all this, right? And I'm thinking my physical appearance, my nastiness, and he says, no. I already made you perfect. You're already perfect. When you accepted Jesus in your heart, you're perfect. God has made you whole. And he says, when I look at you, I see that gorgeous sunset. I see those crashing waves. Because when he created creation, he had this plan. And he saved the best for last. He made us. Right? And so when he, think about that. When you see something that takes your breath away, that's how God sees you. You take his breath away. That's amazing. And so I still, think, yeah, Lord, that's pretty cool. I still don't get it. And so I'm a seamstress. I like to create. And so God gave me a mental picture of, I have a business that I'm selling, that I'm building, and God has done some amazing things. And I'm going to get to that because I'm getting off track. So he gave me this picture of a couple of pieces that I've made, and I'm going to show them to you. I don't get to sew for pleasure very often, but when I do, I get to go up and I get to mess with my fabric, and I get to put things together, and I get to do color. And I make something, and I step back, and I go, oh, I'm good. I do that. And I think, I made that. So I'm going to show you one of my pieces that I did. That I do. I look at that, and I think, oh, good. And if you don't like it, that's okay. This is one of my pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is my thing is, but some people, it may not be your cup of tea. And you know what? That's okay. Because I'm the creator. I made this. This is personal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God made you. You are personal to God. You're personal. Mm-hmm. You know, He wants other people to like you, but if they don't, He doesn't really care. Because He made you. Mm-hmm. And you're personal to Him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so He showed me this, and I went, oh, yeah, well, I really like that. That's one of my favorites. And then He showed me my really, really favorite one. Which this really is going to be not some people's cup of tea, but this is something that I was giggling when I was making it, because this is just scraps that I had. And I was giggling because it gave me so much pleasure to put it together. And God showed me this, and I went, I get it. Because this is what's in my house. Because I made it, and I love it. And I've had people try to buy this other piece. You know, it's mine. Because it brings me pleasure. And so that's, again, what God does. The enemy tries to take him. He goes, back off. I made that. That's mine. Okay? So that's what made it. Just on Tuesday, seeing with me that it's of no consequence to God if Joshua doesn't like me. I want Joshua to like me. God doesn't care, because He looks at me and He says, Susanna, I made you, girl. You are my creation. I'll deal with him and his attitude. But you stand firm in the fact that I made you. You're my real person. So come on, honey. So when I finally get it, I'm getting it. So remember, God gave me the word change, right? Don't come running. It's not contagious. It may be. Maybe God will give you the word of change. So what does God do? Well, it's like I said, I'm trying to build my sewing business, and it's taking off, and all of a sudden, but my big thing, my wave, is finances. I just don't have the resources to do what I need to do. I get a phone call. I have a benefactor who's come to me and said, we've been praying for you for a really long time, 10 years. God says now. So we want to be a benefactor. So we don't want you to worry about this. We don't want you to rewrite this. We want you to design. We want you to create. And the only thing that you need, I make bags. That's my business right now, is I make fabric bags. And that's one of them. That's the one I carry. But the one condition of this benefactor is that I give up control. I said, are you crazy? And then he said, yeah, you have to get up control. You have to find somebody to sew for you.
Really?
Uh-huh. And I said, but you don't understand. That's my name. It's my name. So I'm praying and praying. And he said, just pray about it. Put this grin on his face. And I know this person very, 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 he's my dad. And he's my benefactor, because my dad and I have been in business together before. We don't mix business and family. So this is a big deal. And he knows that I don't give up control. So he said, you just pray and see what the Lord. Of course, Andy's over in the corner. My husband, Andy, he's giggling. When my husband gets tickled, he giggles like a 5-year-old little girl. And he knows that, so I can say it. And it's hysterical. And he's giggling. And I said, what? And he goes, work for the year. And my dad's looking at him, and I'm going, I know. Shh. And he's going, work for the year, change. And so I started praying about it. And the Lord said, Suze, remember that game twister? Remember the game twister in your kid? And he said, Suze, right foot red. And I said, what? You're all stretched out. And you got to put your right foot on the red. And I said, but Lord, you don't understand, I have a 2-inch inseam. My legs are really short. And my right hand's already on blue, and my left hand's over here, and my right foot won't reach red. You don't understand. And he says, Sing's right foot red. But you don't understand, Lord. And I'm clinging so hard, and finally he says, Susanna Megan Zeller, I said put right foot red, you better do it now. And that's what I hear, because that's how I speak to my children. I get pink, God gets the mom voice on. And of course, yes, sir. And I put right foot red. And I stretch. And he says, no, honey, you got to let go of the other side in order for you to really be on that foot red. So I let go. And it was scary. It was really scary. God brought me this mistress. Out of the blue. I can't tell the difference between her work and my work.
Wow.
That's how cool God is. Because he gave me that word. I thought, this is amazing. I figured out what I am. I am beloved. I am God's creation. And I am perfect and whole right here. All this other stuff, this stuff between my brain, it doesn't matter because God sees me as a whole creation, a work of art, something he's not given up. But what he's requiring for you to get that concept is change. And change is painful. Change is hard. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where God's leading me. But what I do know is that all of a sudden I'm on fire. I am so excited about what the Lord is doing. I am excited. I can taste the anticipation of what God's going to do. And I am scared. Because God's going to require me to change more. He's going to require me to give up more of myself. And I'm not just talking about selling. I'm talking about on my journey to, like in Christian world, like to use the word sanctification, to feed towards the holiness. On my journey to become more Christ-like, he's going to require me to change. But the more I change, remember Tony's been talking about the seed that we planted of our dream? The more I change, the more I do right foot red, the more you do right foot red, it's going to become a little catchphrase. The more you do right foot red, that is more fertilizer for that seed. And God's going to take that seed and it's going to grow. Babies, it's going to grow. And I'm going to be here to see you grow. Mm-hmm. And I want you to see me grow. Mm-hmm. I want you to see me change. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many nights I can't even get to sleep because God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do next? And of course, I don't have it all figured out. Oh, there are so many struggles in my life right now, but the one thing I can stand firm on is that God's not leaving me. There's no way he's leaving this gorgeous creation behind.
Amen.
There's no way. There's no way he's leaving this gorgeousness behind. It's just not going to happen. Okay? There's no way he's going to let this gorgeousness that I'm looking at right here be torn down and torn apart. Because he made you and he adores you. Okay, and that's my soapbox, girls. And so I just want to encourage you to not let yourselves become complacent where you are. Don't let your fear of what may or may not happen. Don't let your stubbornness harden your heart. Be willing to plug your nose, close your eyes, and put your little goggles on, and jump in with both feet and go right for it. Because what's the worst thing that can happen? You fail? Oops. Right? But guess what? It's a great fail. Because God won't fail. Ever, ever, ever. Okay. I think I'm good.
All right.